have our little habits, don't we? Wasn't it a very powerful message this morning from Pastor Andrew? Really powerful and tremendous to have him with us as our brother. And he brought out very, very many relevant points to us. So, Father, we thank you tonight that as we open your word, Lord, that you would speak to us. Father, while we are not many in number, Lord, you came for the one. And your word is for each one of us as we open our hearts before you, Father. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak through your servant, that your word would be empowered by your spirit to touch our lives, Lord, that we might grow more in your likeness, that we might bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's still coming. Okay. A cynic once remarked that nothing is permanent except change. It's interesting, isn't it? Thank you. Nothing is permanent except change. We live in a world of change. Every day, things are changing. You can go and buy something new today, and by next week, it's superseded. Even the vehicles that we drive, I know with this beautiful limousine that we've been blessed with, does everything, well, it even talks, to you, the whatever you call it. I always say the GPS, but it's, I got it right. I just say it back to front. But then you can talk to someone with another model and they've got something else. So it doesn't pay to skite about things, but just praise God for what we've got. And ladies with washing machines, we find that they can do all sorts of things as well, and they nearly talk as well. So we find that things change. Things change from ladies' shoes and fashion, and it's interesting to me at my age to look back and just see how fashions change, but they recycle. You know, if I'd have asked my daughter to wear some of the things they're wearing now, they'd have said, oh, Mum, Joan's nodding in agreement. But now they're all back in fashion. We see that legislation, sadly, as we're talking about the abortion law, things change, men's hearts change. And so we see furniture, finances, many things change. The way we do things, customs, styles, conditions, things can change overnight. World events seem to tumble over one another with barely enough time for us to take a grasp of what is happening before us. And we also see that in this world of change and modern technology where we have so much interest and so much cleverness, there are thousands of people wanting to escape boredom. There are many people, in fact today there are more, would you know statistically, there are more bored people than have ever been on the planet. And particularly in our Western society, people are bored. They're bored because they've had so many fads and modernisms and they're bored with everything. Someone said that men wander in the wilderness of life seeking lasting satisfaction. In such a breathtaking age, men and women look here and there for a performance that's going to last and they can't find it. As Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, all is meaningless as we seek for things. Others seek to endure through fame, honours and position, but soon that's forgotten. It doesn't matter how famous you are, you're forgotten very, very quickly. And it's the same, you know, when someone that we know passes away, there are great feelings of grief and unless it's someone very close to you, but very quickly people forget. And it can be the same, sadly, with the church, that we're called to pray. And it's only, and it was interesting as Pastor Andrew spoke this morning, but I didn't want to put my hand up because I didn't want to seem as if I was being smart, but it's true. I never tire of coming here. And I know there are many others that don't. I know there are some that feel fed up. I'm not saying I don't get fed up with things that are going on in life, but never of God and never of coming to fellowship with you people because we are bound by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And you see, so we should never, we can tire of many things, but never tire of God. And so as I said before, God calls us to be honourable people. And when he calls us to pray, we shouldn't pray and then think it's a fad and get fed up. We need to continue to pray and stand on God's word. Many people rely on friendships, but too many friends are like shadows, aren't they? If we live our life and have four or five real true friends in our life, we've been blessed because many people flow in and out of our life. We're not talking about being bound by the Spirit now. There's a true story of a man who bragged to his pastor and church members that he had been an Anglican, then he became a Methodist, and then a Presbyterian. And now he was telling the pastor that he wasn't happy here in the Baptist church anymore, and so he was going to become a charismatic. The pastor patted him on the back and wished him all the best, and the man seemed puzzled, thinking, "I thought the pastor would fight for my membership." Later, one of the elders said to the pastor, "What was that about?" And the pastor said that he didn't see any harm in changing labels on empty bottles. And you see, it's true. There are people that we just have to wish them the best and let them go, because that man wouldn't find his fulfillment in the charismatic church either, because the missing ingredient was with his relationship with Christ, and that's why he was moving and moving all the time. So the question arises for Christians, how should we think and feel and act about change in all the seasons of our life? And we know that there are many seasons, and at the moment we're going through a very difficult time in this country of drought. And sadly, people became very complacent because we got a little bit of rain and the countryside started to look really green. It does look green. And so people forgot all about things because people go by what they see. They're very fickle. But we're in a very, very serious situation. And it doesn't mean that we're to freak out and become despaired, but we need to take it seriously. We need to act responsibly and we need to seek God. But we need to be accountable for the water that we use, and there are many ways that we can save, and I don't want to get onto that. But I'm just talking about how fickle people can become. And the seasons of life change so much. And before I start tonight, and I'm going to speak out of Hebrews, I want to show you a PowerPoint that someone sent to me that really grabbed me. I'll read it out in case you can't see it, but I think it speaks volumes. And it's called The Crosswalk. And you can see there are men and women walking, carrying their cross. And they all have different numbers, okay? And this guy here, it centres on him, and he's pulling the cross. And then he says, "Lord, it's far too heavy. Please cut down a little bit so that I can carry it," okay? And so the Lord allows him to stop, and he cuts some of his cross off. And then he pulls it and carries it. A little way further along, it starts to get heavy again. "Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better if it's cut down." Okay? So there, he cuts some more off. Okay? "Lord, thank you so much. It becomes easier now. He can carry it." Then he goes on. Follows on with all the people, and see, theirs are still full length, his are short. Then they come to this chasm, and he stands there, okay? And he sees the others putting their cross and walking across. But alas, his is too short, and he can't get across. So we see, this is awesome. We complain about the cross we bear, but we don't realise it is a preparing for us for the dip of the road that God can see and we cannot. Whatever your cross, whatever your path, there will be always sunshine after the rain, and so on. And so we see that we complain and we ask God to take it, we ask God to cut it. And if we get involved and we interfere, thank you, with what God's doing, we're going to miss out, because it isn't what God had planned for us. And I thought that really spoke volumes. And so tonight I want to speak out of Hebrews, and it's a very favourite scripture of mine. I had planned something else, but God spoke to me later on through the week and said to me, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." And I think we need to be reminded of that, and that's in Hebrews 13 verse 8. So let's look closely at this pearl of scripture, holding it up to the Holy Spirit's divine light, and asking him to expose as much of its hidden beauty to our finite minds and that our hearts can stand. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. in a changing world, in an unstable environment, Jesus Christ remains the same. And we need to hold on to that so much today in our world. And often we paraphrase and we quote these scriptures, but do we really believe it? I know this scripture became very alive to me many years ago. It had always been a scripture. It's easy off the tongue. It's a short scripture. And I'd said it many, many times. But many years ago, and I've shared before, and I won't go into the detail, when our son Gary was very sick, and the doctors had given up all hope and had told us all the ghastly stories that if he didn't die, and they felt that he would, that he would be a vegetable, this scripture came to me. It was sent to me by a friend. I opened my word and found it. And it was not just enough to say, yes, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today and forever. And I started to explore how Jesus was the same. How Jesus was the same. And you see, if we go into the word, we see that Jesus is God. And that his word does not change. His word does not change. So we see that Jesus is always the same. And what is significant about these three periods of yesterday, today and forever, we will see as we look into the word. A good way to answer this question is to notice the other place in the book of Hebrews where Jesus Christ is said to be the same. And if we look at Hebrews 1:8, we see it says, of the Son, who is Christ, he is God. And God says to him, your throne, O God, which is Christ, is forever and ever. And you, Lord, who is Christ, is the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all become old like garments, and like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. God's sameness is Jesus' sameness. And Jesus' sameness is for us. And we've been called to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ, to take upon us the mind of Christ, so that we will remain the same. The most significant thing to notice in these three verses is that the writer of Hebrews clearly calls Jesus the Son of God, God. He calls him God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And if we look back through the scriptures and see from the very beginning in Genesis that Jesus was with God, and we read that Jesus is in all the scriptures, we will see how he is always the same. The writer of Hebrews ascribes greatness to him for creating the universe. And then he draws out the awesome thing that God is in Christ and Christ is in God, as we know. That his radiance is the glory of God. So the sameness of God and the unchangingness of God is the sameness and unchangingness of Jesus Christ. The visible universe with all its laws, and the scientists that put their trust and hope in all that they can see are simply like a shirt covering the reality of God to them. And when God's ready, he will remove it. Man cannot see the glory of God. Scientists are seeking to find the answers in all of their cleverness, in all of their mind power, but they will never understand because God is spirit, and we can only see and understand things through his spirit. Jesus Christ is our God. In Malachi 3:6 it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And so because God does not change, because Jesus Christ is the same, we stand here today. We stand in his resurrection power. We stand in his authority. We can look with joy on somebody today and a situation today, and then tomorrow we can change our view. If we see something we don't like or someone does something that isn't in line with our thinking, we can very quickly change. Now we know that God changes. He doesn't change in his purpose. He doesn't change in his power. But he does change in his outlook on things, because there are many times that we fail God And God knows what his purpose for us is, and he wants the best for us. So when we change or when we move away from his purpose, God's thinking changes in the sense that he becomes disappointed and he waits for us to come back. But the essence of God never changes. His purpose for us never changes. His presence with us never changes. His power never changes. And we need to hold on to that. God does not change his mind. Man does. And quite often we get into trouble because we think things through our own minds. We don't think about this Jesus as being the same yesterday, today and forever. When everything is running smoothly and everything is going all right in our lives, then we can say these scriptures off. When things go difficult, we say, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" When we get into financial difficulty, do we remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever? When our marriages struggle, when our children struggle, when we confront all sorts of things, there are many things that are exterior, that we cope with when things become inside of us and they start to touch our emotion, we start to freak out and we get out of balance. Because we function out of who we know we are or where we think we are, rather than coming back to who Jesus is. That is to be our point every time. We need to be focused on him, the loveliness of him, the security of him, the power of him. And so there are things that come out of this scripture about Jesus being the same yesterday, today and forever. One is that God responds to different situations and behaviours in different ways, but he always rejoices because God is a God of rejoicing. And so we need to be a people who rejoice in him. Hebrews 4:15 calls him a sympathizing high priest. He can and does respond differently to our different circumstances, but he does respond because he is the same perfect God and he has that perfect foreknowledge. He knows what we would do before we do it, even if he doesn't like it. And so he changes in the sense of the way he deals with us, but his love for us never changes, or his purpose for us. And that's what we need to hold on to, his purpose for us, and come back to that. Why does it matter that Jesus Christ of today be the same as the Jesus Christ of yesterday and tomorrow? Well, let's look at it. Yesterday, it is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same yesterday as he is today, because yesterday is when Jesus Christ showed us history and through the word what he is really like. And so we want to believe and know that he is the same today as he was yesterday, that he has not changed his mind, that he stood with his Father when we were created. He saw the purpose right down through the ages that we would be born and what would become of our lives. The Jesus who gave his life, left his throne of glory and went down into hell to take the keys of sin and death that we might be delivered and freed, is the same, and we need to believe that or we have nothing to stand on. So we need to believe through the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that this Jesus is the same. Today it is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same as he was yesterday, because today is where we have fellowship with him. Today is where we commune with him and we relate to him as the person we know. And we know him as we read about him of yesterday. And we love him because of what he did for us yesterday. But we also need to love him for who he is to us today. And so it's very important that we stand in him today. And tomorrow, it is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same tomorrow as he was yesterday and today, because all of our hope for everlasting joy, for eternity, hangs ultimately on relating to him, not just his gifts, but on him, on the reality of who he is. Who is this Jesus to you? Who is this Jesus to you? How close is he to you? Do you just say Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever? And move on, or you do really break that up and see that that is living life, that scripture to you. That my Jesus, my shepherd who leads me through the shadow of the valley of death. My shepherd, my Jesus, is the same Jesus that leads me through that shadow and will take me out into the green pastures and say, set before me a table in the presence of my enemies. This same Jesus will walk with me forever and ever. Forever and ever. However long it takes that I might dwell in his house forever. The Christ of today must be the same as the Christ of yesterday, or we cannot know the Christ of today. He stands upon his word. He is who he says he is. Do we actually claim the promises that God has given us in a time of need? There's a story, a true story, that when Crowfoot, one of the great Indian chiefs, gave permission to the Canadian Pacific Railroad to cross the Blackfoot land in America, he was given a return lifetime railway pass, which is an interesting thing to give an Indian of those days, but he put it in his leather case and carried it around his neck for the rest of his life. But he never availed himself of the right to travel anywhere on that train. And you know, many Christians do that. We take the promises of God and we tuck them away, but we never cash them in. We never use them. We never use them. There's also a story about a man who had to cross a wide river on the ice. He was afraid it might be too thin, so he began to crawl on his hands and knees in great terror. He thought he might fall through at any moment. He was just so full of fear. Just as he neared the opposite shore, all exhausted, another man just glided past him in a nonchalant way, sitting on a sled loaded with pig iron. This man had a heavy weight, and he was on a sleigh, and he skidded past this man. How like some Christians headed for heaven, they tremble every step lest the divine promise break under their feet. How confident we need to be in the things of God, because there are times in our life where we feel like we're walking on thin ice. I've known times like that in my life. But you see, if we centre on me, we will fall. But if we centre on this Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, we will stand. And not only stand, we will overcome and we will accomplish all that God has set before us. He enables us to know him personally. And as we know him personally, we can be more confident in the power of his word. And the Holy Spirit brings that power to us. And it can be the same with temptations. We can be tempted to something. And if we don't really have this word alive in our heart, we will give in to that temptation. And then we will feel grieved and broken and say, oh God, why did I do that? And it's like we can see Jesus standing there and saying, but I was here for you all the time. If you could have looked to me and not to the need of your flesh that was crying out for that thing, I would have taken you through and saved you that pain. Now we know that he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as I preached the other week about the tree planted by the river, it is God's desire that we be so planted in him that we so much claim this Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever. The power of that we get that the Holy Spirit ministers to us, the reality of that we'll cry out to him and we will grow, that we will sin less. We will sin less. As we see temptations, we'll say no, and we'll cry out to this Jesus who is here waiting for us. I don't know about you, but I sense his presence around me. Now, I don't say that I feel that 24 hours of every day, because I'm like everybody else. I have issues with my flesh as well as everyone. But more and more as I grow, the more I feel him, the more I want to, the more I'm conscious of him. There are times when I'm walking around my house doing my housework and praying as I'm going. And because I'm inviting him in, I can just feel him. I just feel him. Of course I know he's inside, but I feel his presence with me. It's like I could reach out and touch him. And that's how he wants us to be. He wants his spirit to be alive in us, connecting us to this great Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever. Is that where your hope is? Is that where... Why do we doubt him when we know he has so much in the word that tells us how great he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is, how loving he is, how faithful he is, and yet we look away. We look away. He himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Now, it is not a sin to be tempted to fear, but what we do with that moment when we are afraid, it is what we do with that moment when we feel in despair, when we feel discouraged, when we feel isolated, that is where the pinch is. Are we going to live in that isolated fear? Are we going to live in that discouragement? Or are we going to cry out and say, Jesus, Jesus, take my hand. I know you're here. I know you're here. You are the Jesus. You are the Jesus in Genesis. You are the Jesus in Revelation. You are the Jesus today. You are here for me. I will hold you. And you see, I've said before, it isn't so important that I hold his hand. The important thing is I know that he's holding mine. Because in our fear and our anxiety, we can let go, but he never lets go. If the hand moves, it's us that move. He is strong and safe and sure, and he will never let us go. Never. It doesn't mean we don't go through things. But you see, when we go through it in him, not with him, in him, that makes the difference. And that gives us hope to believe that just as this Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, he knows our yesterday, he knows our today, and he knows our tomorrow. He sees the end and he wants us to have faith to believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask or think, about any pain that we go through, about any struggle, according to this power that's within us, his spirit, to make him alive to us, that we will believe and hold on to him and not frantically fathom around in fear. We should not be afraid of what man can do to us. We should not be afraid of what situations can do. We need to face those things head on. And yes, there are times when our knees tremble, but don't look for your own resources. Cry out, Jesus, Jesus. And right there with your next breath, he's there to save you, to lift you, to carry you. His love is the same. His righteousness is the same. His wisdom is the same. His power is the same. And he is not bound by the limitations of finite man, so that he could ever be surprised by anything, any circumstance we're in. He would say, no, my child, I understand. I've seen this before. For there is nothing but nothing that we go through that he has not seen. There is nothing but nothing that he has not been tempted to or that he has not died for. And we need to take hold of that. We need to trust him. We need to tell him all things. We need to know that we are free and free indeed in him. The Lord is my helper. He will never leave me. He is enough, and he is always the same, and so in that I can be content. Matthew 28:20 says, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. To our fathers today, to our fathers yesterday, to ourselves today, and to our children tomorrow. We need to believe this so that when we speak to our children, that we can tell them that this Jesus that is with me today will be with you today, but he'll be with you in your tomorrows. As you grow, as these young ones grow, they need to know there is an anchor that is sure. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future and life is worth living, just because he lives, and he lives in me. He lives in you. And this Jesus wants to show you his power, his strength, and his might. And have that PowerPoint. Thanks, Drew. one, the one who holds you, the one who nurtures you, the one who heals you, the one who saved you and rescued you. Do you know that you are held by the everlasting arms? We need to really go into this week, for we none of us know what we face. We live in an uncertain world, but we are held by a certain Saviour, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you that your word is truth, that it is light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We thank you and praise you that you are the same yesterday, today and forever, our Lord Jesus, the very Lamb of God who has given his life that we might know your truth. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit might presence yourself with each one of us, that we might really take hold and know each word that your scripture speaks, that we would not just casually read it, but that, Lord, your Spirit might impart it to us as life, life to our very being, that we would never ever take for granted, or we would never flippantly say your word, but realize that we speak the power of life. We speak the power of life, Lord Jesus, as we speak it over our lives, over our loved ones, our children, our husbands, our wives, and out into our community, Lord. It is the power of life. It is a sword that is sharp, that cuts and breaks asunder. Oh, Lord, may we never take for granted your word. May your word be powerful to us, and life to us, resurrection to us, abundance to us, abundance in all things. So we just praise you, Holy Spirit, that you administer that truth to us tonight, that we need to know that you are the same Lord Jesus, and the same Jesus who was raised from the dead, the same Jesus who put out his arms and accepts us into his loving grace, will be the same Jesus who waits to take us to the other side. And we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest and my joy." But Lord, until that time, we want to rejoice in you. We want to be faithful to you, Lord God. We want to be the same yesterday, today and forever by the power of your Spirit. We want our yes to be yes and our no to be no. We want to be able to declare your word against the darkness. We want to declare your word that it will bring life and light to all that we speak to, Lord God. We want to be instruments of your purpose and of your praise and of your peace, Lord. So we declare that before you this night in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.